Hello and welcome. It's the pleasure of Power to Change to present Family Life Today each week, Monday through Friday at this time. We'd love you to contact this station and tell them how much you appreciate hearing Family Life Today. Well, let's get started on today's edition.
So in 1980, we came on staff as a young married couple, 19 and 22 years old, with Crew. Back then it was called Campus Crusade for Christ.
I was a very mature 22-year-old.
I was very young, knew nothing, 19-year-old. But I love Jesus. But one of the reasons we came on staff was because Bill Bright had a vision of win, build, and send. And so we loved evangelism. And when we would do conferences back then, we remember we'd go door to door sharing the gospel. And so sharing the gospel, evangelism, we are all about that. And I'm finding, this is so weird, I'm finding the older I get, I'm just as nervous as I used to be. Do you feel any of that?
A little bit.
Sharing the gospel.
Yeah, I mean, anytime you're going to step into a conversation with somebody about something maybe they aren't prepared for or maybe don't want to talk about, it requires a prayer and say, God, I know you want me to be your light, I'm going to do it.
And I think maybe it's because there's a little more pushback now than when we were younger. Like, people are going to hate this, they're going to hate me. But nothing grows my faith and gets me more excited when I do step out into that water of, here I go. Oh, I feel like I'm rejuvenated spiritually.
And we got Preston Perry. You just heard his over there. Because Preston, this is who you are. I mean, we're going to talk about your book, How to Tell the Truth, the story of how God saved me to win hearts, not just arguments. But I don't think this is, you didn't write a book because you wanted to write a book. This is who you are. This is what you
this is your passion.
Are about.
Yeah, I think my passion is to make disciples and to see disciples made.
That's what shaped you spiritually.
It has. I think without discipleship, I know I wouldn't be the man that I am today. You know, if it wasn't for people investing in my life. And I do think that the health of the church would change if we would develop a culture of discipleship. You know, in Jesus's day, I mean, that's how they learn from rabbis.
Yeah.
Jesus is walking past the river and they go, look, there go the Lamb of God, and they begin to follow Jesus. And Jesus noticed that they're following him. He turns around and says, what are you seeking? And they say, Rabbi, where are you staying? And they didn't say that because they wanted to know what his house looked like. It's basically translated into, Jesus, we want to teach us by showing us how you live. We want to see how you live. They learn by shadowing. And I think that it's very powerful when we invite people into our lives and they can see a life lived out. And so for me, that's what men did for me. I'm just a product of just being under godly men, seeing them love their wives, seeing them love their children, seeing them pursue humility, right? And so I think I was just discipled under mature men in the faith, and it just did wonders for me.
Our son wrote a series for our church called The Color of Your Dishes, and we're like, dude, what is the color of your dishes? He goes, when you disciple somebody, they should know the color of your dishes, because they're in their house. They're having meals with you. Watch me be a husband. Watch me be a dad. Watch me share Christ, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Like, I discipled my barber.
I don't have a barber. So, what do you mean you discipled your barber?
You know, he was cutting my hair, young guy. He just got married a year and a half ago.
Wow.
I felt like the Lord was like, disciple this young man. Just don't let him cut your hair or whatever. Because he cuts my hair in my house. He's like a home barber. And I said, yeah, I think the Lord wanted me to have a deeper relationship, wanted me to disciple. And he just began to cry. He said, me and my wife have been praying for 2 months that you will offer to disciple me. But I don't want to bug you. And so, I remember one time I had said something to my child that was a little hard. I said it in a hard way. And she's on the couch. I said it to her. She got on the couch and I saw that she was sad. And so I brought her back to me and I said, did daddy hurt your feelings when I said it that way? And she said, yeah, you hurt my feelings. And she started crying. So I made him stop cutting my hair and I hugged her and I apologized to her. At this time, I'm so focused on her, I'm not even aware of him. I'm not even aware of him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She goes back to, you know, the couch. He goes, bro, I got to take a minute. And he was like, you apologize to your kids? And he was like, bro, like, my parents have never apologized to me. And he was like, man, when I have kids, I'm going to remember that. So that's what discipleship is.
Yep. Yes. And I think what we can do is we can think, I don't have time to meet with these people. let them come into your house. And that's what's scary, because you have to be living it. And it's not even perfect. It's messy. Just as you said, you had to apologize to your daughter. Sometimes that's the best discipleship.
Absolutely, because God is not looking for us to be perfect.
Yes.
Like, I gave my life to the Lord, like I said in the last episode, when the person who was discipling me failed. Mm-hmm. Right? God is not looking for us to live perfect. He's looking for us to display that we trust in a perfect God.
Yeah.
And so I think when people see that dependency and see that humility, I think it just gives people a framework of how we should live our Christian lives. Mm. We don't have to have it all the way together, right? And I think, I love that, what you just said, because Matthew 28 says, therefore go make disciples. And it can be translated as you go.
Yeah.
Right.
As you're going.
As you do life, just bring somebody along with you, you know?
Yesterday, you said, you know, as we talked about planting seeds, you had more to say about that.
Because I think another thing that would deter people from, like, being evangelists or even trying to make disciples in the outside world is to want right now results.
Mm.
Like, we think that if our conversation doesn't end with a sinner's prayer, we've failed. And I think that's a lie of the enemy.
Yeah.
Because seed planting is God moving.
Yeah.
Like, don't think that you didn't do anything, right? Because, you know, when I first heard the gospel, like I said in the last episode, when I was 15, I didn't become a Christian, but I became keenly aware of my sin.
Mm.
And 2019, I was doing a poetry event in Atlanta, Georgia. And that same guy who shared the gospel with me was sitting in the front row.
Wow.
And afterwards, I was so happy to see him. I walked up to him and I was like, yo, thank you for coming. I haven't seen you in years. And he was emotional. He was like, when I used to give you guys the gospel every week, I thought none of you guys were listening.
Mm.
And he was like, to see you guys, to see you up here, you know, sharing your faith and talking about Jesus through poetry, it was just so, so refreshing to me. And I said, bro, can I tell you something? I said, the first time I heard the real gospel is through you. And I didn't become a Christian, but I became keenly aware of my sin. And I know for a fact that's when God started to, like, pursue me hard.
Mm.
And he just started crying because that seed of faith that he planted, he wasn't around to see it bloom.
Yeah.
And so God was just very kind in allowing us to, like, see each other again. But I do think that God wants to raise up a generation of evangelists who are okay with being seed planters.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think that's really wise. Because there is a time when I felt God started to woo me.
Yeah.
I never went to church.
Yes.
Didn't know anything about church. I'm the youngest of four kids. And I felt like people that believed in God were weak.
Yeah.
That they kind of needed a crutch, that they were weird.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was a gymnast, and at one of the gymnastics meets, I'd gotten to know a coach on another team, and he had come up to me and he said this, I'm getting ready to warm up on bars. And he sits down beside me. I think I was 10. And he said, Ann, if you died tonight, where would you go?
Wow.
And I said, that's the dumbest question. Like, what does it matter? I'm 10 years old.
Wow.
I laughed at him. And then I made fun of him with all of my friends. That night, I go to bed, and I can't get that question out of my head.
Wow.
Because of God wooing me.
Yeah.
It was the seed. He planted the seed. He probably felt like, well, I was rejected.
Yeah.
That was a fail.
Yeah.
That was terrible. And I wish now, sometimes I wish that he could see what we're doing.
Wow.
Like, thank you for that seed. And even though I rejected it, I made fun of it, it wasn't your job to do anything else, but just to say that, to say that one sentence. And then God, he kept watering that seed. But just to think of how the Holy Spirit moves.
Mm.
And I think we don't think, like, I can't do anything. Just a sentence.
Yes.
A sentence is all God needs to start that germination.
So that's so powerful. Yeah, yeah. I think if we can remember that it's not our job to make anyone make a decision, but it's our job to bring people to one.
Mm.
And I think with me, I just always trying to figure out, how can I bring you to a decision? How can I ask you a question to make you think about something that you never thought about before? How can I say something that God can use? Because at the end of the day, if the Holy Spirit doesn't move upon somebody's heart, they won't see God.
Yeah.
But God just wants to use us to be faithful. That's why I love the Apostle Paul. You know, when he was resting in Rome, he wrote his mentee in the faith, Timothy, and he says, I'm bound in chains as a prisoner. He says, but the gospel is not bound. The gospel is not in chains. He says, therefore, I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they might obtain salvation through Jesus Christ with eternal glory. And I think what Paul is essentially saying is, Timothy, don't be afraid that I'm in prison because my preaching is not in vain, even in jail.
Yeah.
Because God has a people out there who will hear. I don't know who's going to respond. I just know God has a people and I'm just faithful with the gospel message and I'm just going to give it. So I think that the church kind of conditions us to want right now results.
Yeah, right.
But I do think that God wants to raise up a generation of evangelists who are okay with not seeing the fruit of their work until we get to glory. Like, we're going to play a role in people's story. Just be faithful with the gospel and God can do wonders with that.
Well, it's interesting, you know, the president and founder of Campus Crusade, now CRU, we're on CRU grounds right here, Family Life's a ministry of CRU, Bill Bright, his definition of evangelism, I know this because we met Bill in the 80s. Mm-hmm. He's with the Lord now, but his definition was sharing Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit and leaving the results to God.
Yeah.
That was it. And it's like, just share Christ.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's literally walking through the gospel. Sometimes it's planting a seed. Sometimes it's if you die tonight. But the results are not ours. They're his. And so, so we can walk away like, okay, I might have planted a seed. It may never bear fruit. It may bear fruit tomorrow or 10 years from now. But I've been obedient to the call on me as a disciple to make disciples. And it starts with shining the light
but
with
guys,
a conversation.
Let's just say, like, it can be awkward. Like, you guys are good at this. You have a gift of evangelism, of turning the corner.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you can feel God's prompting, the Holy Spirit's prompting you to say something. And for a lot of us, I call it turning the corner to get to a conversation that's spiritual.
Jesus barrier.
It's a tough one.
Like the second you bring up that.
Give us some tips because as we're listening, I think hearts are resonating like, yeah, I want to do that. Give us some ideas. Besides, we're going to pray, Lord, and that's a big one, even praying, Father, like, I want to do this.
I've never forgotten this quote, talk to God about people before you talk to people about God.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good one.
Just a reminder, are you praying about this? Because we go out and rush around and it's like, no, let's just pray.
Yeah.
Ask God to work. Ask God to communicate. Ask God to open a door in a conversation, whatever it is.
Yeah, let's hear some of those stories. Do you have any?
Well, so I have a lot of thoughts for the question.
Good.
One, prayer is big. I think that when we pray, God helps our fear, helps our impatience, helps our anger. And one thing I learned in evangelism, people don't make you do anything. They just bring what's in you out.
Yeah.
That's good.
Right? And so if you have fear that you haven't given to the Lord, somebody's going to bring their fear out. If you have anger, somebody's going to bring their fear out. But also, too, I think I have to just connect it back to asking good questions. Because I think that when you ask good questions, people teach you how to serve them. I think a lot of times people, they get nervous because they're thinking about what they're going to say, not asking really good questions to actually listen. So you have a framework to how to respond. So for a practical example, I walk to somebody and you know, one, I'm not going to say, can I share Jesus with you? I'm not going to say that because now it's just awkward. I don't know, but one thing I've learned is everybody want to be heard.
Yes.
Now it's another thing if I say, tell me what you think about Jesus. Or tell me what you think about the church. Oh, they have a lot of stuff to say.
Oh, yeah.
So now they're just giving me information and I'm just learning. Okay, I hear hurt. Okay, maybe she's hurt by the church. Maybe he's hurt by the church. Okay, did you come from the Christian church? Oh, they hurt me. Oh, I'm sorry that they hurt you. It's like, you know what? Now you can have an opportunity to relate to them. I was hurt by the church too. They hurt me back in the day. We all have hurt stories or whatever.
That conversation I watched with you and that woman on the street.
Yeah.
You asked her that.
Yeah.
And she was hurt by the church.
I said I was hurt by the church. And so now you have, like, when the Bible tells us to be wise as serpents, but harmless as doves, he's saying go out there and discern creative ways to give the gospel to people.
That's good.
So I've learned to say, man, I was hurt by the church. But can I tell you why I'm still a part of the church, even though I was hurt? Sure. I didn't even go in telling her. I asked her, can I tell her?
That was just winsome. Did you see how his face looked? Like, I want to hear your story, Preston.
Yeah. Can I tell you why? Man, I was hurt by the church because, you know, like, I was just around people who didn't represent Jesus well. But I learned that God's church is vast. It's big, right? And the enemy wanted me to think that the way that certain Christians acted towards me was the character of God. Mm. But God, he didn't give up on me and he led me to people that love me well and show me his character and show me how to teach the scriptures. And I would love that for you. So now I gave her some truth.
Yeah.
And it wasn't forceful.
No, but it was very loving.
But I was only able to do that because I asked a good question. And I listened well.
That's good.
And so I think that if we learn how to do that, I think it just alleviates so much pressure from us. And I think that people are looking for the right thing to say and not listening well. And I think when we listen well, people will teach you how to serve them.
I'm thinking of John 4 with the woman at the well. And I think of all the questions and the conversation that took place. That was winsome, and it was truthful. It was loving, all of that.
Yeah, that's why I put this in the book.
See? That's Jesus, why this book is good. This
Jesus
is why we
came and he displayed such wise ways to share truth with people. And he loved people. Mm. Like, he loved people well. He asked good questions. People felt seen. I mean, this woman at the well, she was a Samaritan woman.
Yes.
Right? Talking to a Jewish man, right? When people didn't do that. Right. She came to the well at a part of the day where, you know, she wouldn't be seen, the hottest time of the day, to avoid people. And Jesus walked all this way to encounter her, to ask her questions, to make her feel seen. And right afterwards, she became an evangelist. Right.
And so, I mean, like, it is interesting, too, isn't it? I remember in seminary, just this thought about that story was one of the thoughts was, what was the first thing Jesus said to her? Can you give me a drink?
Can you give me a drink? Yeah.
And my prof at the seminary is like, you know, if you want to reach your neighbor, go ask to borrow something. Like,
yeah.
What? I don't want to bug them. I don't want to go ask for a ladder. Go ask for something. They love to be helpful.
Yeah.
And it starts a relationship. I'm like, okay.
You're really good at that now. Well, I'm not going to bug them.
I walk over there and, you know, what? I'll never forget. I was sitting on the Lions bus for a road trip. And this is early in my career as their chaplain, and the voice of the Lions sits down. He's our radio guy.
Hmm.
I don't even know him. I just know his voice because I know he's on our flights, and he sits down beside me. He goes, hey, man, you probably don't know this about me, but I went to Ball State. He goes, you're a Ball State legend. I go, you went to Ball State? Because I went to Ball State, right? So we have this right away connection. His name was Mark Champion. I go, really? When you're there? So I started, and all I know is I'm sitting there. I feel like the Lord's like, I'm going to use you in this guy's life.
Wow.
So all I did for that whole bus ride was ask him questions. You know, it's easy. It's like, what, did you like Ball State? What'd you major in?
Yeah.
Radio and TV, you know, blah, blah. Before the bus ride ended, we got to the hotel and then the stadium. I said, well, hey, how do you like what you do now? Is it all that you thought it would be?
Yeah.
I'm trying to get at, are you happy? Are you finding life being the voice of the Detroit Lions radio voice? He goes, yeah, you know, next time we get on the bus, he sits down beside me. Next time we get on the bus, sits down beside me. And every conversation was me asking him questions about his life until he finally said, hey, you asked me that first trip 3-4 weeks ago if I enjoyed what I do. What about you? What do you do? You know, he's like, you're the chaplain. Most people are afraid of the chaplain. But I only sat with you because you went to my college. But what do you do? So I shared the gospel. I said, basically, I tell people this. He goes, huh?
And you shared your testimony.
Yeah, I shared my testimony. You know, when I was at Ball State.
That's so much wisdom.
Quarterback, I wasn't a follower of Christ. Here's what happened. I'm not kidding. This conversation went on for like the whole season. And then one night he calls me. I'll never forget. He goes, can we do breakfast tomorrow morning? I go, yeah, what's going on? I got to meet with you tomorrow morning, 7 a.m., blah, blah, blah. Can you be there? Yeah, I'll be there. I walk in this restaurant, I sit down, Mark sits down. I go, Mark, what's going on? Are you okay? What's going on? He goes, I want to do the deal. That's what he said. I go, you want to do the what? You want to do what deal? He goes, I want to give my life to Christ right now. Can we do that?
Oh, wow.
He goes, you've explained it all to me. I have no more questions. I'm ready. Can we do this?
Wow.
I said, Mark, here, I'm just going to lead you through a prayer. This isn't some magic thing. But, you know, I'll pray. Just repeat after me, just quietly. I go, Lord Jesus, I need you. He goes, Lord Jesus, I need you. The entire restaurant is watching him give his life to Christ.
Wow.
It was just this amazing moment. And that's the man is still walking with God 30, 40 years later.
That's such an amazing story.
I mean, it was just like, that is what God has created us as followers to be about.
Yeah.
At Family Life, we say make an impact on your corner of the world. Well, to make an impact, you are the light in darkness.
Mm-hmm.
And I always say this. I always say, man, if you're a follower of Christ, someday, somewhere, God wants to use you to lead somebody to Christ and maybe even baptize them.
Oh, yeah.
You don't want to go to your grave not being used in that way.
Oh, yeah. I love that story so much because I think it just displays the wisdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was just such a wise way to woo somebody, right? And when we think about how God led us to the Lord, we were wooed over the course of time. And so God is just, I mean, he was so kind to come to the earth to display these things for us, you know? And so, I think that, man, if Matthew 28 It's not just talking to pastors, not just talking right. to youth leaders, not right. just talking to seminary students, just talking to everybody. It's basically saying, go out there and produce other Christians like yourself. Yeah. Make more yous. That's yeah. all it's saying.
Yeah.
And I love the word make. Because I think a lot of times we try to microwave disciples. But make means, and it implies that it needs to be some work.
Yeah, it's going to take time.
It's going to take time. And so, like, the time you invested was great. And so invest time. So sometimes it's a one encounter, like street yeah. evangelists, when people yeah. have, like, Jesus encountered a woman at the well once.
Right.
But when we look at the disciples' life, the Bible doesn't say that they were Christian when Jesus first got them. We don't really know when their conversion happened.
Yeah.
But Jesus walked with them, and I'm pretty sure they became converted. Sometimes Jesus is going to have you walk with people like you did that guy. And then sometimes, you know, it's going to be a woman at the world encounter. But I think, you know, just be ready and know it's going to take time. Mm-hmm. So I think every Christian should be trying to figure out, how can I lead somebody to Christ?
Yeah, if you want some inspiration, let me say again, pick up Preston's book, How to Tell the Truth. You know, I'm thinking, as people read this, not only will they learn how to maybe defend their faith a little bit, but they're going to learn to win people, not arguments. Yes. They're going to learn gentleness and tenderness and yeah. love.
And that's important today.
Yeah, I definitely think the book can be applied in the home space.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of times we're just so fixated on winning an argument, and God is saying, no, like, I cause you to care for one another. Yeah. The only way the world will know is by the love that we have for one for another. So yeah, the way you present truth matters. And so,
it could be. I was just thinking, if you've got teenagers, this could be a cool book as a parent to read with them.
Oh, absolutely.
And have conversations about what would that look like in their high school.
Yeah.
Good idea. Cool. Preston, yeah. It's great to be with you. Keep writing.
Oh, I will. I think my next book could be on manhood. That's all
right. Ooh.
I really want to write a book about manhood.
Nice.
Yeah, so that's good. What I'm working on now.
Thanks for being with us.
Well, thank you, guys. You guys are good at this.
Thank you.
We want to thank Dave and Ann Wilson and their team for another edition of Family Life Today. Although our programs are produced in America, the issues facing families like forgiveness, communication, and taking care of our kids transcend national borders. These issues profoundly affect relationships everywhere. In Australia, family life is known as Power to Change, and our mission is to effectively develop godly families, the kind of families that change the world one home at a time. A key part of our mission includes strengthening marriages and families all around the world. We want to do whatever we can to bring timeless truths to the challenges you face as you seek to strengthen your family and join us in changing the world. Do you need some practical help in your relationship and aren't quite sure where to turn? We offer relationship checkups where you will meet with one of our trained relationship coaches who will help equip you with some new tools while you take a more holistic look at your relationship. For more information, email radio@powertochange.org.au or check out our website, families.powertochange.org.au, under the Need Help tab and get started today. Have a great weekend, and please join us on Monday at the same time for another edition of Family Life Today.